Morning, everybody. Chester R.P. Church Devotional Podcast. It's a pleasure to be with you. Genesis chapter 16, beginning in verse 7, after Mitch brings us in. Remember, our Savior leads us all the way. He is always there for us. See you in a minute.
Feeds me with the living bread.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Indeed, we come to hear from the living bread of God and be fed on it. Genesis chapter 16, beginning in verse 7, is what the Lord says. Now the angel of the Lord found her, that's Hagar, by a spring in the wilderness, the spring on the way to Shur. He said, "Hagar, slave of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going?" And she replied, "I'm running away from my mistress Sarai." Then the angel of the Lord said to her, "Go back to your mistress and submit to her authority." And the angel of the Lord said to her, I will greatly multiply your offspring, and there will be too many to count." Then the angel of the Lord said to her, "You have conceived and will bear a son. You will call him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard your cry of affliction. This man will be like a wild donkey. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand will be against him, and he will settle near all his relatives." So she named the Lord who spoke to her, "You are El Roy," for she said, "In this place have I actually seen the one who sees me." That is why the well is called Beer Laha Roy. It is between Kadesh and Bered. So Hagar gave birth to Abram's son, and Abram named his son, whom Hagar bore, Ishmael. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to him. Now, last week we talked about how Abraham and Sarah had decided they were going to do things in their own way. They were not going to wait on the Lord. The Lord said, "I will give you an offspring." Sarah said, "I can't produce an offspring. I can't produce an heir. I'm barren. And so you must go into my slave woman, Hagar." This was an arrangement that was set up, perhaps would have been something that was normal in those days. And so Abram goes and has a sexual relationship with Hagar, and the result of that relationship is that Hagar gets pregnant with the boy Ishmael. Sarah gets upset with Hagar. Hagar, of course, obviously, because of the way the Lord speaks to her, refuses to submit to the authority, must use this pregnancy against Sarah. Sarah is angry toward her slave. They're angry toward each other, and hell hath no fury, as Proverbs will later tell us, as a woman scorned. And so Sarah kicks her out. She flees, and then she tells Abram, "You do what you wish." Sarah says to Abram, "You do what you wish with this woman, but I've kicked her out. I can't deal with her any longer." And so she's kicked her out, and now Hagar is off alone. She's pregnant by herself in the wilderness. And the angel of the Lord, we're told, finds her where she is by a well when she stopped for water. Now, it's important to note that the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament is oftentimes a reference to a pre-incarnate version of Jesus. In other words, this is oftentimes seen as the Son of Man taking on the form of a human, but not actually being a human. He doesn't become a human until he comes through the virgin birth in the New Testament and takes on human flesh. So this is the second person of the Trinity appearing as a human and interacting. Now, is that the case here? I don't know, but it seems to me that he does come with a certain level of authority, because he says to Hagar several things. Look what he says. He says, "You have conceived and will bear a son. You will name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard your cry of affliction. This man will be like a wild donkey." And then he gives a prophecy regarding Ishmael. And so she then responds in Hebrew in verse 13 and calls him El Roy, which she refers to him as a god. The word El is God. And so she refers to him as a god as well. And so there's some indicators here that maybe she understood this is the Lord himself as well. So he finds her again, and he addresses her. He knows who she is. And then he tells her in verse 9, and I think this is significant, "Go back to your mistress and submit to her authority." And he says, "I will greatly multiply your offspring, and there will be too many to count." And so there's this condition of obedience. He finds her where she is, and then he says, "All right, now I want you to return and submit to the authority of the woman who is over you." That's directly a God thing. God establishes authority, and God expects us to submit to that authority that is over us in our submission to Him. And then He gives this promise in verse 10, I will greatly multiply. I will multiply. So this is not the Lord will multiply. This is not something like Gabriel would speak to Mary and says, you know, as the angel of the Lord, Gabriel, the messenger says, the Lord is going to do this. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. This is actually the angel of the Lord here taking the first person pronoun, the singular pronoun, and being the subject of the sentence, I will multiply you. And so I think that there's a reference here. This is a pre-incarnate version. This is God Himself coming to meet her. We see God's provision. We see God's grace. We see God's mercy in all of this. Abram and Sarai messed everything up. They messed it up by not waiting on Him. But yet God in His provision and grace meets Hagar. And I think that's important. We have sin in our lives. And oftentimes, our sin has consequences in other people's lives. And we see God being gracious not only to us, but gracious to those who are affected by the sin of our lives, because that's how God works. That's who God is. And so I think today this story, if nothing else, just shows us the grace, mercy, provision, and kindness of God and the responsibility we have to submit to Him and to respond to Him, because He is powerful and mighty and gracious and kind to make every provision we would ever need. So you guys think through that today. God bless you. Have a good day. I'll see you tomorrow. Take care. You care.